Good morning, Springfield First. I'm honored to have the opportunity to share with you a word from our Lord today. I am so appreciative of how He takes my feeble attempts to speak and does this incredible work of anointing and bringing His word to life as He touches your ears and your hearts, and you hear from the Lord. His word comes alive and has meaning and brings encouragement and strength, and it challenges us, it convicts us as we hear His word. I would venture to say that none of us expected or planned for a shelter in directive to interrupt and change the way that we do life and to change the way that we've gathered together as the body of Christ. I want you to know I appreciate the leadership of your pastoral staff and board and those behind the scenes making services available to you through technology. They are to be commended, and I just want to say thank you to each one of those involved in making this service happen. For those of you that do not know me, allow me to introduce myself quickly. My name is Terry Armstrong, and on July 13th last summer, my world, my family's world, was turned upside down as your district assembly elected me to serve as your new district superintendent. In August, we left our home in Mustang, which had been our home for the last 11 and a half years. I served as pastor at the Mustang Church of the Nazarene, and we moved to Bethalto, Illinois, to dive into this new assignment and discover how God might want to use us, Becky, my wife, and I. And as we have become involved in this assignment, it is our desire, my desire, that we would help you, the local church, continue to grow and be healthy and vibrant and become an intricate part of all that goes on for the kingdom of God in Illinois. Prior to our assignment in Mustang, we had spent an additional 21 years in the lead pastor role in two different churches and 6 years as a youth pastor in two churches as well. So we basically bring to the table now 39 years of full-time pastoral experience. And it is my hope and my desire that we can utilize this experience to come alongside you, the local churches, and help you continue to spread the word and the hope of Jesus Christ. You, the local church, you are the heart and soul of the body of Christ. The district is only here to come alongside you and to be a part of what you are doing there in your local congregation. These past 9 months in Illinois have been a real joy to us. We've come to love the countryside. We've come to love you, the people. You've greeted us and received us and made us feel at home, and we want to say thank you. For the past 5 months, I've been able to work alongside your church board as we try to discover and discern God's plan for Springfield First. I want you to know we have taken this responsibility very seriously, and we are diligently seeking His wisdom and His insight into the person that He has in store to serve as your next pastor. I have to be honest with you, it was my hope and desire that when we scheduled this date several months ago, I would be here to install a new pastor. But for whatever reason, that just hasn't happened yet. And we are still diligently seeking God's direction to find the person He has in store for us. It's not an easy task. And as I mentioned, we do not take it lightly. But we are determined to know that God is leading and directing. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for your faithful prayer as we continue to seek God's wisdom. Once again, I want to express my appreciation to Pastor Jay, Tim, your church board secretary, Dave, and the entire church board for their faithfulness during this time of transition. Today, I want to speak to you about transitions. We find ourselves living in a new period of transition. And there's a key word that I want to share or maybe even introduce to you. It was a new word to me several months ago, but it's really been a helpful word as I try to understand what God has in store for us. The word is the word liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L. Or maybe even if we kind of broaden it out a little bit to put it in a phrase by saying liminal space. The word by itself, the definition is relating to a transition or initial stage of a process, occupying a position at or on both sides of a boundary or a threshold. And as we look at this word liminal space, it is where all this transformation takes place. And by definition, we can use liminal space as the time between what was and what will be. What's next? Congregation, you are in a time of liminal space. The time in between pastors. The time in between what was and what will be. I think as we think about liminal space, we find that there are many times we find ourselves in this kind of period, this kind of transition. As I look back on my life, I see that there were several periods of liminal space and what happens. And to help understand that a little bit better, for me, it was one of the first times that I can kind of remember was back in September of 1978. And it was in the parking lot of Mid-America Nazarene University. Becky and I were dating. We'd been dating for about 6-7 months. But we had been friends our entire college experience. And in fact, I had fallen in love with her. And I had decided that I wanted to ask her to marry me. But, you know, I wanted to come up with a very special way, a way to make it romantic and memorable. But that night in the car, as we were getting ready to head in, we had a curfew at Mid-America back in those days, and it was almost curfew time. And in fact, you know, you just had to stay out until the curfew was up. I mean, you couldn't go in early. And so we were just getting back to the school from whatever activity that we'd been involved in. And we were sitting there in the car, and I thought, I will practice my proposal. And so I leaned over to her, and I kind of got in her ear, and I mouthed the words. And when I said those words, even though for me it was very silent, there was something that she kind of pushed me back and said, "What did you say?" And then I was kind of caught. I mean, what was I to do? She somehow had heard what I'd said, even though I was sure that there were no sounds that came out of my mouth. And so I repeated the question. I said, "Will you marry me?" And there was this gap. There was this liminal space. I mean, I had entered into new territory. We had been dating for these 6 months. Things were good, but I had now come to this point that I had asked her this question, and I didn't know exactly what she would say. I thought I knew, but it was this period of liminal space, the time in between what was just a dating couple and what could possibly be an engaged couple, and what seemed to be like hours long. She finally responded and said, "Yes, I will marry you." And so that, in hindsight, was a very short liminal space between what was and what will be, but it was still this liminal space, this space in between. Back then, we began a new liminal space in terms of from being an engaged couple to the time that we became a married couple, and it was about 8-9 months before that happened. But liminal space. More recently, I found myself in liminal space in June the 17th. On the 16th, we had left for a mission trip with our local work and witness team. And on that Monday evening, we'd been traveling all day. We were sitting on an airplane, getting ready to make our second to the last leg of the trip. And I received a phone call from Bob Broadbrooks. Dr. Bob was serving and still is serving as the regional director for the USA-Canada region. And he works with the general superintendents in this process of establishing or electing or appointing district superintendents to the Church of the Nazarene. And it was on that night, June the 17th, that I first became aware of conversations that were taking place about Becky and I and the possibilities of what God would have in store for us. And so we begin to pray, and there's a long story in that process, but from June 17th to July 13th, there was this period of liminal space, a time between what was and what was to be. Liminal space. And here you are as a congregation asking the question, who will our next pastor be? You loved and appreciated Pastor Fred and Terry Prince, and you still love them, but you're waiting to discover who the next pastor will be. So I want us to take a few moments to look into God's Word and see if God's Word has something to say to us about this time of liminal space, the time between what was and what will be. Easter. For the disciples, there had to be this period of liminal space. Last Sunday, you celebrated the resurrection. Early that first day, that first morning, the ladies went to the tomb and they found it empty, and Peter and John came running there. And I know that you heard about that story last week from Pastor Jay. Powerful story, the resurrection and what it means for us today. But this morning, my text comes from later that day. It's a favorite passage of mine because I just think it's where we all live. And this, it seems as if we find ourselves continually in this period of liminal space. And these disciples, particularly the two that we're going to read about today, they had been following after Jesus. They had watched him crucified and buried. And now there was this sense of unknown because his body was gone and they didn't quite know what it meant. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And the whole story comes from verses 13 through 35. And so I'm going to read just a portion of that today, but I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to make reference to the whole story. But I just want to read the final few verses beginning in verse 32. Luke chapter Luke chapter 24, verse 32 through 35. It's the conclusion of the story, and it's powerful. And this whole story will help us as we deal with this period of liminal space. They ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with one another on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in praying for a moment? Father, would you just take these next few moments as we consider this story, this encounter that you had with these two disciples and their experiences, and how you came alongside of them to help them during their period of liminal space, and how we are convinced that you will come alongside us as we continue during this period of liminal space, waiting to see what you have in store for Springfield First. In Christ's name, amen. The story is often, as you look in that scripture, it's probably, many of you have a heading. It said, "On the road to Emmaus." It's a relatively familiar story. And I always enjoy reading it following Easter. In fact, I have used it multiple times, either Easter evening if we have a service or this Sunday following. But it's such a powerful story that I think it plays right into where we're living today, where you are living in terms as a church and a congregation waiting for a new pastor, but also where we're living in the midst of our world today. And a coronavirus and what that means. And so many of us are asking the question, you know, what's going to happen to our jobs when we go back? And how are we going to live these next few days? And will I get the virus? And all kinds of questions that come along the way. It was sometime that afternoon in our story that these two followers of Jesus decided that, for whatever reason, they had had enough and they were just going to head home, it appears. They were headed the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, almost 7 miles. A lot of scholars believe that it were two men from the same town. There are some scholars that believe that probably it was a couple. And I kind of like that idea that here's this husband and wife who had decided that they would follow after this new teacher, and they had stuck with him and followed him along the way, and now here they find themselves discouraged, wondering what is next. They're confused, kind of like where we're all living today. And they just kind of decided, well, it's just too much. We're just going to head home, go back to Emmaus, and we'll see what happens there. So these two, I'm going to say a husband and wife, they began to walk these 7 miles to Emmaus. And along the way, the story is told that they're talking with one another, and this stranger comes alongside of them and walks with them. And the stranger asks this question, "What are you talking about?" And Cleopas, the only one that is named in the story of the two, the only one of the two named, is bewildered. How could you be coming from Jerusalem and not have heard the story of all that's gone on of Jesus? We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the one who would come and deliver us. And the Romans came and took him captive and crucified him and put him in a grave. And this morning, some of the women from our group went to the tomb and they discovered that his body was gone. And they just, you can almost just hear their anguish in the story as they're telling what's gone on. And Jesus just comes along and he lets them talk. He lets them share, and he asks these questions that kind of reveal, I think, his compassion for his followers. And thus we come to the first lesson from the story for us today. It's the lesson that says Jesus wants to be with you. He knows where you're walking today. He knows what's been going on in your life. He knows your concerns. And he wants to come alongside and be there. Today, you might be finding yourselves confused, discouraged, wondering what is next. We're talking among ourselves, asking one another the question, how are we going to survive? And the question, where is God in all of this? And I'm here to say to you, based upon the Word of God and life's experiences, he is with you. He's walking with you. The psalmist tells us that he is with us beside the green pastures and beside the still waters. We get this picture of comfort and beauty and contentment, and we find Jesus there, but the psalmist goes on to say he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of darkness, of death. And he is there. So no matter where we find ourselves in this gamut of life, this journey we call life, he is there. He's with us. And he wants to come alongside of us. And the challenge for us today, the challenge for me, the challenge for you is, where is he? Let's look around and see how the many different ways that God is coming alongside of us and spending time with us, how he is fulfilling his promise to never leave us nor forsake us. It causes me to ask the question, how will I see him? Or how will I discover his presence? And as we read this story, or as you read through the story, it's interesting that Jesus seems to wait at the door for the disciples, these two followers. He doesn't just barge his way into their life. He walks with them and he gently knocks on their heart's door. And he simply says in verse 17, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Again, my friends, Jesus is wanting to come alongside of you. And he's there. He's just waiting for us to open the door. The second lesson comes in the next passage in verse 25. And I have to admit to you, I've had trouble in the past with verse 25. Because it seems like Jesus comes across pretty harsh. He talks about how foolish. And you know, I don't know about you, but for me, the word foolish and fool comes to mind from Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus really comes down hard on anyone that calls someone else a fool. And so I struggled in trying to grasp, okay, why is Jesus saying you're foolish? But if you really look at the words and study the words, you'll see that the word foolish here in this text is much different than the word fool in the Matthew text in the Sermon on the Mount. This text, or this word, has to do with the meaning of understanding. He was saying to them, why do you not understand? How come you haven't been able to grasp what I've been trying to teach you? And so then he begins to explain, the scripture tells us, from the prophet Moses all the way through the Old Testament, of the proclamation that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to come, and that he truly would be the Messiah, but yet he would be delivered into the hands of the enemy and crucified and dead, and on the third day he would raise to life. You see, God does not want to leave us in the dark during our time of in-between, during the liminal space that we find ourselves. He wants to help us find an understanding of His presence, of His compassion, of His care, and His understanding. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for the church. And He's just waiting for us to continually seek after Him, to allow Him to reveal His plan to us. Jesus wants to come alongside of us, and He wants to help us understand His plan. There's a side note in verse 28 that I think is a significant lesson for us, particularly in the midst of this time. In verse 28, it tells us that they approached the village. Jesus continued on as if He were going further. The two followers urged Him strongly, "Stay with us." These two strangers, these two disciples, these two followers reached out to this stranger. They still did not know who he was, but they were intrigued, and they recognized that he had wisdom. And so they reached out to him and showed great hospitality by inviting him to come into their home, not just for supper, but to spend the night with them. That scripture says it was getting late in the evening, and the road was treacherous. And these disciples showed hospitality. And I just want to say to you that this is an incredible time, this liminal space, this space, this time in between what was and what will be, that you, as the followers of Christ, have this incredible opportunity to show hospitality to newcomers, to one another. In fact, I've been sharing with the pastors, we've had this incredible time of this online, and people are reading or listening to services like never before. People who would never darken into the doors of the church. And my question to our pastors and my question to you, the church, is how will we work to reach out to these people? How will we show them hospitality in these days as we come along, as we move out of this liminal space of the coronavirus, this time in between? How will we show hospitality to bring them in? And you discover that it was in their hospitality that they really experienced Christ. If they would have let Him go on, and if He would have continued to go the path, they would have never had this eye-awakening moment where they realized who Jesus was. Hospitality is important. And I encourage you as a church, continue to show hospitality to the people you don't even know yet. But begin to ask the question, how will we reach all of those viewers online? What kind of methods will we begin to develop to try to find out who they are and what's going on in their lives and all kinds of things? So I challenge you, look at these people. As you look at these people, continue your creativity to discover who they are and how you can share Jesus with them. And then we come to the final part of the story. It's the moment that their eyes were opened. They're having supper. And these two somehow had turned the host responsibility over to Jesus. They didn't know who He was. They still thought He was a stranger, but they were so impressed with His knowledge and His compassion, His willingness to reach out to them. And so they gave Him host responsibilities. And it tells us that Jesus took the bread and He broke it. He gave thanks. And when He did, their eyes were opened. What was it that opened their eyes? Somehow, these two who had walked the road of discouragement and the doubt with the stranger that shared understanding and knowledge about this liminal space, they came to this sacred moment in which Jesus broke bread and they experienced the celebration of the Passover, which for the Israelites was their salvation. And this causes me to ask the question, what are my experiences that I have encountered with Christ in my past that others have shared with me that take me back to the moment that my eyes were opened and I recognized Jesus? And all of a sudden, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, I can find joy and excitement in such a way that I cannot be content to stay at home, but I must run back to Jerusalem and share my story of all that God is doing and what He wants to continue to do in our lives. In these days of liminal space, we need to be reminded that Jesus will come alongside of us. He will not leave us alone. We do not have to travel this road, the discouraged, dusty road, alone. Whether it be during this time of being without a pastor, or if it's a time that we're struggling with a virus that has changed our world, I believe He wants to help us to understand His presence, and that He still has a plan for Him, for us, from Him. The coronavirus did not interrupt His plan for us. It interrupted our lives, but it did not interrupt His plan for us. He's bigger than the virus, and He wants to come alongside of us and teach us and encourage us and help us to understand. And then I want to ask, how are we using this time to show hospitality to one another, to the new people, people who have been around for years that we know and that we've kind of just put on the side? How can we open the doors to Christ's experience in a new way to one another? And then let's be aware of the experiences in our past that will help us to open our eyes in the presence to see Christ. These experiences, His presence, changes us and gives us a story of hope to share with the world around us who need hope, who need encouragement along the way. Springfield First, you have a rich tradition and a rich heritage. You have been used by God to build His kingdom in Springfield, Illinois, and around the world. And He's not finished with you yet. Even though you are in this period of in-between, between what was and what will be, He wants to be with you. He will be with you. He will help you understand. He will give you the courage to show hospitality. And He gives us a story to tell. So let us go, church, and let's share the story of the hope of Christ in us. Let me pray with you as we conclude the service. Father, again, I continue to be amazed at how You take my feeble words and somehow You're able to use them in the hearts and the minds of the hearer. I thank You for Your stories and Your word that helps me to understand and encourages me. And I pray, Lord, that today these people would not be discouraged about their liminal space, but yet they would be encouraged because they know that You have a plan for them. You already know who the next pastor will be. You already know the results and when this coronavirus will end and how it will affect us all. And so we want to trust you today. We want to believe in you. We want to follow after you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Have a great day.